This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for July 28th, 2006. I'm Jen Rourke. Coming up, a Champagne mother and her infant son return home from Lebanon. And a look at your AM 580 forecast. But first, today's news. The U.S. Olympic Committee has received a letter saying Chicago should not host the 2016 Summer Olympics. The letter from 22 University of Illinois faculty members cites the Chief Illini controversy as the reason. Professor Stephen Kaufman, who has long led the effort to retire the chief, believes the symbol violates Olympic ideals of sportsmanship and humanity because of its portrayal of Native Americans.
The use of the race-based imagery in the Illinois sports program, both the use of it, the open toleration of it, and the support by the governor, by many legislators, by the trustees, really is inconsistent with the principles of the Olympics in general.
U of I trustees are in the midst of what they call a consensus resolution on the chief's fate, and there's no timetable for discontinuing the symbol's halftime dances. But the NCAA has already banned the U of I from hosting tournament play as part of its crackdown on Native American mascots. Vermilion County authorities say Ryan Ketcher's death was not related to foul play or any injuries. Local officials yesterday released the results of an autopsy on the Oakwood man, who was reported missing in November of 2000. County Coroner Peggy Johnson says the cause of Ketcher's death was drowning and that authorities were unable to conduct toxicology tests on the body. Emergency service workers discovered Ketcher's truck late Monday night when testing new sonar equipment. County Sheriff Pat Hartzorn says this week's events brought closure for not only Ketcher's family, but for law enforcement officials who never gave up their search.
Every month for the past 5.5 years, we have done something on this case, either investigated a lead or searched a pond or an area where someone gave us information. Unfortunately, we didn't have the type of technology that it took to actually spot this truck in almost 50 foot of water in a strip mine pond.
Ketcher's mother, Linda Griffith, praised the efforts of law enforcement as well as the media for keeping alive the story of her son's disappearance the last 5 years. She plans to continue pushing for state legislation that strengthens missing persons investigations. Griffith says her family plans to hold memorial services in Oakwood next week. Danville Republican lawmaker Bill Black sponsored the legislation that would enhance missing persons investigations. He says the measure stalled in the Senate this year amid concerns that it criticizes police agencies and how they go about solving such cases. Black, who was personally involved in the search for Ryan Ketcher, says this bill is not meant to pass judgment on anyone, but is simply to set up protocol for conducting a search. Black says his co-sponsor, Bloomington Republican Dan Brady, a former county coroner, took the lead on the issue.
There were some people who were delaying entering the Social Security number, or the vehicle identification number, or the driver's license number, or the credit card numbers that the parents said they had, the missing person had when they left. And a 72-hour delay or anything of that sort can really hamper that investigation.
Black says the bill would also ensure that coroners take DNA samples on an unclaimed body before it is cremated. An anti-gambling group suspects the Democrat and Republican running for Illinois governor are being evasive about their stance on the issue. The group yesterday announced results of its candidate survey. Last election, Democrat Rod Blagojevich completely filled out a survey. In each box, he checked off opposed to various forms of gambling expansion. But this time, the governor did not return the survey. Instead, he described his views in a letter. Anti-gambling advocate Tom Gray says that makes him question Blagojevich.
He filled out a pledge when running against Jim Ryan that specifically said no to three proposals that he has endorsed during his term.
Gray says Blagojevich has spent his term waffling, as at times the incumbent has put a stop to proposals that would expand gambling. Republican candidate for governor, Treasurer Judy Barta Pinka, also failed to turn in a survey and instead sent back a letter. Advocates say Topinka failed to make clear her stance on issues that may come up, such as putting slot machines in horse racing tracks. The advocates say the letters leave both candidates wiggle room. The letters from Blagojevich and Topinka will be posted online at www.ilcaaap.com. The positions of candidates for the Illinois House and Senate who turned in surveys will also be listed on the website. The panel that regulates utilities in Missouri has launched an investigation into Ameren's handling of last week's power outage in the St. Louis area. Maria Hickey reports.
More than a half million St. Louis area residents lost power after two storms ripped through the region. Now the Missouri Public Service Commission says it will investigate Ameren's response to the outage. 2 years ago, the PSC ordered the company to do more tree trimming and hire more people for the work. But Commission Chairman Jeff Davis says this investigation will look at more than just tree trimming.
We have to look at all of the relevant factors. And you know, our staff handed out a list of that was a page long, single spaced, of different issues that they intend to look at. And more things are being added to that list all of the time.
Davis says he's not certain when the investigation will be complete. I'm Maria Hickey.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jen Rourke. Tody Issa and her infant son are back in Champaign after their visit with family in Lebanon was cut short by the fighting between Israel and Hezbollah. For Tody and her husband Sam Issa, the conflict marks a resumption of the violence they had hoped was disappearing from their home country. Jim Meadows has this report.
For the regulars at Sam's Cafe in downtown Champaign, things aren't quite right unless owner Sam Issa is at the grill. Just ask Paul Summers, who says he started coming to Sam's when it was known as Chris's Candy Shop. Sam bought the restaurant in 1986, and Summers says he doesn't know why anyone would want to eat anywhere else.
Potato soup on Thursday, absolutely outstanding. And his meatloaf and roast beef are good, and his grilled cheese sandwiches, he makes them like nobody else does.
Sam Issa missed a morning at the restaurant a few days ago so he could pick up his wife, Tody, and youngest son, John, at the airport in Indianapolis. Sam says some of his customers haven't gotten over it.
You know, I had people today call me on the phone early this morning before we opened up, and they want to make sure I'm working so they can come in because they said they really don't like that place without me here. And they were glad my family was here, but at the same time, they really want to make sure I'm here so they can come and eat today because they don't want nobody else to cook for them but me.
If all had gone according to plan, Sam would have been away from his grill for even longer. He had planned to join Tody in Lebanon, where she was showing off their 13-month-old son to their relatives for the first time. Tody says she felt safe traveling around the country, and little John was having a ball.
Oh, he loved it. Oh, he loved it. They love him. Every day, one day over his aunt, one day the other aunt, uncles, grandma, and just... I didn't get a chance to hold him or whatever, except when I had time to put him to bed and in the morning to see him. He was having fun.
But things changed on July 12th, when Hezbollah, which is based in Lebanon, began attacking Israeli targets, and Israel quickly responded by bombing Hezbollah targets in Lebanon. In Sam and Tody's hometown of Hemet, everyone is Orthodox Christian, and Hezbollah, a Shiite Muslim movement, has no presence. But Tody says on July 15th, Israeli jets dropped three bombs on the control tower at the small airstrip that had been built in Hamet during the Lebanese Civil War.
I looked myself from the window. I didn't go outside. But you can see all the dust and the cloud and dark, I mean the sky. So there's actually two from the Lebanese army. They die when it happens. So. And what I did, I ran, hold my kid who was sleeping, pack a little bit in suit, like a little food, grab my passport and just to see what's going to happen, where we're going to go, or where we're going to hide to just, you know, be safe.
Some visitors to Lebanon left the country quickly, simply by driving to Jordan by way of Syria. But Tody says that was too risky for her infant son. So she stayed in Hamet until July 22nd, when, as a naturalized American citizen, she was able to secure passage for herself and her son on a U.S. evacuation ship. 2 days later, Toti and Little John were back in Champaign, much to the relief of Sam Issa and their two older sons. But Sam now worries about what's next for Lebanon and whether the current battle could tip his home country into a repeat of the civil war that turned his life upside down. In fact, he was one of the combatants.
In 1975, we had an attack on our town. I was 16 years old. Our town was divided from towns on the other side. And we had a war between us, so every day we shoot at them, they shoot at us. And then all of a sudden one day they attacked us, and then we were unexpected, and then they out us, so we all had to take off.
Sam says the Muslim fighters from the neighboring town were pushed back with the help of Al-Kataib, one of the Christian militias in Lebanon's many-sided civil war. At the time, Sam Issa says he carried a weapon himself and used it in battle, although he says he never knew where the bullets landed. During the same period, Sam's father was kidnapped, apparently by a Syrian-backed militia, and his fate remains unknown today. While Sam learned the horrors of war firsthand, he says he believed that fighting for his side was the only way to achieve justice in Lebanon, and he still believed it in 1978, when, at his family's insistence, he left the country and wound up in America.
You know what? U.S. changed my mind. You know, the freedom and the open mind. You go down the street, you don't even know what religion the other person is. It's everybody equal. And you go, you know, in them countries over there, it just, you know right away, you know, just who's almost like what town, who's a Christian, who's a Muslim and all. Over here, we're all mixed together, we're all equal. And that's what they need to do over there. Maybe they can learn something like what we got over here. You know, we're all the same, we're all equal.
Sam doesn't see that sort of transformation coming to Lebanon quickly, and he worries that if Israel once again occupies Lebanese territory, it could lead to another civil war. His wife Toti says their relatives in Hamet are of two minds as to what the Israeli-Hezbollah conflict could mean for Lebanon.
Some people, they're kind of like, they look forward to just settle and just end it, you know, to be saved and just no more war, no more Hezbollah, no more, you know, no more fighting. And some people, they're just afraid, you know, from what's going to happen.
The Issa family is back together in Champaign, and Sam's regular customers don't have to worry about him missing days at the cafe. In a reversal of Toti's difficulties in Lebanon, one of her sisters from Hamet was visiting in Champaign when the Israeli-Hezbollah conflict began. Sam says she won't be going back until they're sure it's safe. Toti says the local economy back in Hamet has suffered under the pressure of the fighting. Factories have closed, and withdrawing money from banks has become difficult. And every day, residents of Hamet who don't have the luxury of leaving hear Israeli fighter jets pass overhead. I'm Jim Meadows.
And now a look at your WILL AM 580 forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, partly sunny, a 20% chance of thunderstorms, highs in the upper 80s, light winds. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the lower 70s, light winds. Saturday, mostly sunny, highs around 90, light winds becoming southwest around 10 miles per hour in the afternoon. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for July 28, 2006. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Jen Rourke, AM 580 News.